Join us now on the Maple Toyota Hotline. Here's Ray Ferraro. What's going on down there, Ray?
Not much, Captain. What's going on with you?
I'm feeling very good. I'm feeling like a leader.
You should be.
Yeah. I'm getting my tires pumped, too, out on Instagram. Like, these guys, there's a lot of production going on here, trying to pump my tires with clips of former guests who were like, it's a great point by you, Brian, and Dwayne Casey, point, Rich Brian. Eisen. Yeah, there he is. So,
well, you know, I mean, it's obvious. I mean, we follow wherever your lead is, which is why we're like the band in Animal House in a dead end walking around in a corner.
Just sheep.
Not much leadership here. Not much vision, put it that way. I'm not planning anything in the future, but as long as we get here every day and the pass card works, I guess I'm not going to complain.
I think that's really all it's about, isn't it?
That's all you can really say.
Thing worked again. In we go.
Yep. I guess I'm allowed in the compound, and the mics are going to turn on at some point. What's the mood like down in Columbus? The like such extreme talent turnover this offseason. They can't feel overly confident, but are they putting forth a front or what?
Well, they are, and yet, you know, when you talk to just people that are around the team, they're like, you know, they got some good young players, they're confident, but, like, can they be any good? Like, you know, like, nobody really has any faith that they're going to be able to replace. I think more than anything, guys, it's the offense that they're looking at and going, how the heck are they going to score any goals?
Mm-hmm.
Like, aside from Bobrovsky, right? Okay, so they're going to miss him. But they've got these, you know, they got four young goalies in their system. And I read this story on Jarmo Kekäläinen, the general manager, and he said, I was in St. Louis, we drafted Ben Bishop. We didn't wait long enough for him, and he became a number one goalie somewhere else. He said, you can look around the league, it happens all the time. Before I go get an experienced guy, we want to make sure that these guys aren't number one goalies. And so the guy they have that's going to start tonight, Kuopio, I mean, he's got an .897 save percentage the last couple of years. I don't think he's more than a backup, but he's going to get the first crack. The guy behind him is this guy we've seen at the World Championships a few times. His name's Elvis Merzlikins. He's a Latvian, and I'm no goalie scout, but I think he's a stud.
Yeah.
Like, I don't think he's good. I think he's better than that. And so I think by November, he's their number one goalie. But that gets us back to, okay, so that's great. Maybe you sort that out adequately. Who the hell's going to score goals for you? They got Cam Atkinson. They got Pierre-Luc Dubois.
Josh Anderson.
But I was going to say, Newell's, I was going to say, then you get into a bunch of guys that kind of grind away for their goals.
Yeah.
And Anderson would be one of those guys. Nick Foligno got 17 last year. You know, they hope Oliver Bjorkstrand, who scored 23 goals, he gets 12 and a half minutes a night. He's one of those guys, Torts likes the boot in the rear end. Like, they need him to score. Like, they need him to be 30 goals. And you're like, man, it's not all going to work. They've got this young kid, Emil Bemström, and they're going to start him on the fourth line. And last year he got 23 goals in the Swedish league. He's the third teenager to get that many goals in the Swedish league. Kent Nilsson had 28. Elias Pettersson had 24, and Bemström had 23. So he's a 20-year-old kid. Like, I don't know, is he ready to play? Or I don't know. Like, there's a bunch of, I don't know.
Yeah, that Texier, I think his name is. I always butcher his name. He looks like he could be all right, too.
Yes, and so, but it's a bunch of, okay, I hope so, guys.
Yeah.
Because they're so young. Again, they're the youngest team in the league. You know, and so youngest team means you got a lot of question marks. You got a lot of guys playing probably roles that they shouldn't quite be at yet. And that's what they have. They've also got $10 million in cap space. And so if this thing stubs its toe early on and somebody else looks at their team and says, wow, we're worse than we thought we were going to be. We want to make a move. We want to trade away somebody that we're not going to sign after this year. Columbus is in prime shape to do that. The one thing, though, to keep in mind, they don't, looking forward on them, they don't have their first-round pick coming up this year. Ottawa's got that.
Ray, there's been a lot of talk in Toronto about Austin Matthews being this two-way centerman. You see him at ice level. Do you ever? Do you? We talked earlier. I view him as like a goal-scoring machine. not really that two-way guy. How do you view him?
I don't get the two-way thing yet, Old. I think it could be there. I think he can be better at it. Some of that will be that instead of swooping around the defensive zone, he's going to stop a little bit more. I see a lot of Evgeny Malkin in his game. Like when Malkin never stops, ever, ever, ever. If you're going to be a two-way, the player that Babcock keeps talking about, that's what you have to get to, you know, as far as defending. But when he shoots the puck, like, how many guys shoot the puck like him in the league? Is there three or four, maybe?
Not many.
Maybe?
Yeah. Not many. Yeah.
And he's, you know, he's going to get a better, even better sense of where to be on the ice as he plays more games, you know, gets a little more experience. But you look at him and you go, well, really, how much more experience does he need? Not very much. You know, like, he's a goal scoring machine. He really is. And I think if we're looking at a guy that's just developing the ability to one time the puck like he did the other night, and that adds another weapon to him, it's almost like Ovechkin went the other way, right? Ovechkin could one time it like nobody's business, and then he started getting goals closer to the net. Maybe for Matthews, he's going to start to spread his range up a little bit, you know, become a more well-rounded scorer. And you're like, holy crap, well, that takes you from 40 to 50 goals. And we know how rare that is.
Well, Babcock has spoken about this before. We know how he wants to
shape
play
him.
And shape the team. Yeah. Exactly. He's always thinking defense first, and if you smother the opposition and keep them to under 20 shots and win 1-0, it's the perfect, like, Picasso hockey game. But he's also the highest paid coach in the league. So if that's what he really wants, and he wants to mold a guy, I think he's putting pressure on himself here. Okay, if that's what you want and that's what you believe has to happen, you've been here for 3 years, man. Like it's not like he's a rookie.
I think Babs would like every player to be like Pavel Datsyuk.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah, we were talking
and that's just not going to happen. Or he wants him to be, not Matthews in particular, but he looks at, I think he looks, and I don't know this, maybe one time I'll ask him, but I think he looks at three players that he's coached as the ideal player. And that's Nick Lidstrom, Henrik Zetterberg, and Pavel Datsyuk. I think he looks at them and sees like every quality that he would want in a player somewhere in those three.
And that Glenn Denning guy. Whatever that guy's name.
Yeah, Luke Glenn Denning. That would be at a different end of the roster. But yeah, you know. So if the fourth line center thing doesn't work out, you know, for the GOAT or Spetzer or whatever, Glenn Denning's getting near the end of his contract. He'd be a bad favorite for sure.
Yeah. Freddie the GOAT, Glenn Denning.
anyway,
Freddie Glenn Denning.
Before we get way down the path here, I don't know that you can, I mean, you can have the ideal in your head, but each guy is different. Matthews is not going to see the game the same way that Datsyuk or Zetterberg did. He isn't, because he's a different guy.
Right.
And I don't know. I find this quest for the 200-foot player that you hear from coaches all the time.
It's nonsense.
It is, man. It's like you want a 200-foot player can't be. It can't happen. It doesn't happen with players. Mitch Marner is never, in my books, going to be a 200-foot player. And I don't want him to be. And I could care less. I'll find somebody else to chip the puck out off the boards, off the glass, and out. What I'd like is when he gets it to get 100 points, which he seems like is just, you know, is right in his wheelhouse. I want Austin Matthews to get 50 goals. I don't want him to sacrifice his offense at the expense of sacrifice his offense so he can be a great checker. What I would like is when the games get really tough in the playoffs, I want to know that he's able to really lock in on what's important. And that, to me, that's the hockey IQ. I think he would have it, but that would be my quest as a coach.
That's exactly. I remember having these conversations with Iginla. Iginla would say, like, when the playoffs come, I know to be safe with the puck, be smart with it. And these guys would be able to do that. It's just Babs wants those habits in these young players right from day one. You can't blame him, though. You can't blame Babs for trying to instill proper habits in young players. That's drafting and developing. There's 20 other organizations that would love to have that type of problem. Ultra skilled players that you want to continue to grow their game. But I agree, Ray. Like, I think it's more about at critical times having the IQ out there or the wherewithal to make the right play. And sometimes that's not just the high risk play, it's just the safer play to manage the game.
Well, I'm not going to go through and name names, because a lot of these players are like fantastic players in their own rights. But I played with and against players that, as the season got tighter and tighter and tighter and into the playoffs, coaches didn't trust them. They didn't trust them, and they didn't play the same way, or they tried to play their offensive way and it doesn't work. I don't think that'll be the case with Toronto's young guys. I really don't. Like with Matthews and Marner in particular.
No.
Nylander hasn't shown that yet, and we'll see if he matures into that, where if he's got to lock it into a much more simple game, that he would be able to do that. But he hasn't done that yet. But the other two, I guess you keep talking to them about it for sure, but I don't want a 2-on-2 and Mitch Marner to go in and chip it in the corner and go get it. I really, as a coach, if he did that, I'd come back and say, what are you doing? Don't do that anymore. That's for him to do.
Right.
Yeah, no, he's got more than enough capability to make that magic happen when you run into a 2-on-2 preseason, regular season, postseason. But I also believe learning to be successful and maybe simplifying your game in order to be successful applies on both ends of the rink in the playoffs. Like, yeah, you got to be smarter and stop where you got to start, stop in your own end. But also, you can't expect, you're not going end to end in the playoffs. You're not going to dangle through the neutral zone. Those lessons have to be learned too.
Yeah, but by the time you get here, it's not like they're teenagers. So I was never a very good defensive player, because I just wasn't. And maybe because I didn't commit myself to it like I did at the other end. But when we got into a game, if we were late in the game and it was 2-1, as much as I hated to chip the puck in, like, I hated it. I hated it. Couldn't stand it, because those were the days you'd chip it in and the defenseman would maul you and you couldn't get in the play. I knew the play was that. Like, even though I was not a good defensive player, I'm like, nah, it's the right play. And in it goes.
Mm-hmm.
Those guys will make that play. Like, do people not trust that with them? Because I do. I don't even think it's an issue. Like, I think if it was 2-1 and Connor McDavid's coming up the ice and it's a 1-on-2, he'd go, yeah, wrong time, and he'd chip it in. Like, he wants to score every time he's got the puck, but he'd go, yeah, wrong time. It's got to go in.
Mm-hmm.
And in it goes.
Yeah, and I think even trying to find offense, though, is different in the playoffs.
Yeah.
Like, I'm not talking about the situation where, yeah, 1-on-2, you're up one late. Yeah, don't try to be a hero. I'm saying at sidewall, stop, and William Nylander in particular, driving wide, stopping, coming back up the boards.
Right.
Not going to work in the playoffs.
Looking for options.
Yeah, it'll work against, Ottawa in October, but.
Well, guys, go back to last October. Remember, they scored about 18,000 goals.
Right, exactly.
Remember, and Babcock
game changes.
He kept saying, this is fun. I hope everybody's having fun, but it's not going to be this way.
Mm-hmm.
And sure enough, it wasn't that way. And their power play was, like, honestly, I thought they were going to score way over 300 goals last year, the way they started. I'm like, that power play is going to get 100 goals. And then all of a sudden they couldn't adjust, or they couldn't figure it out. And, Nylander was no help when he came back, and Marleau fell off the table, and it was like, finished.
See you later.
And, and that's it, right?
Yeah.
So now it's got to change. It's got to change at some point, but I would think the guys, at the very top of the heap for them, they're not only terrific young players, they're very smart players. And I'm with you. You have to create the offense different. I think they can. There's a couple guys we'll have to see, but at the very top, I think they can.
Leafs Blue Jackets tonight. You can watch it on TSN4. We'll catch you on the coverage tonight. We'll do it again Monday at 5 o'clock.
I'm going to do my best to not get jolted by the cannon if that thing goes off, but gets me every time.
It's the worst.
It does.
The worst, like, gimmick in the NHL. It's so annoying.
I hate it.
It's so annoying. But they love it, you know?
They love it here. Hey, how about this? I hope our broadcast goes better than the morning today. I went down for breakfast, came up, brushed my teeth to go to the rink. Don't know my room number. I'm walking around on the seventh floor. My room's not on the seventh floor. I go down to the lobby. The lady goes, what room are you in? I go, something 19. She goes, take a guess. So I give her, I go, I know it's not seven. There's only 11 floors in the hotel. I go, I know it's not seven. She goes, take a guess. So I guess. She's like, wrong. Then she gives me the room.
So she knew. So she was trolling you is what you're saying.
Yes. Oh, she was mocking me.
Yeah.
And then Gord gets here, for, you know, first game of the year. He doesn't have a tie, which I think is probably an improvement on what he normally wears. But anyway, you know.
So those ties in the gift shop are tough.
Yeah, they are.
The Columbus State Fair.
So the best part about this is, I'm sure he won't say anything, so I'm going to say it now. He borrowed a tie from Columbus's PR guy.
Dude, go to a strip mall and get a tie.
I know, God. But he's borrowing a tie.
What and a cheapo.
Tight budget, I guess.
God.
Well, I guess I just accidentally let that slip out. So, anyways, I'm sure the game will be good.
Well, we look forward to it. Forward to seeing Gord tonight.
Ohio State Buckeyes tie.
Oh, I hope so.
That would be awesome.
It would be spectacular. All right, buddy, enjoy it.
See you, boys.
There's Ray Ferraro joining us here on the Maple Toyota Hotline. They take away the fears of buying a pre-owned vehicle by sharing service history, lien history, and accident history. Find out more at MapleToyota.com.